Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her
on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Wednesday out there. Hope your commute in is going well. Your morning's delightful. We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the program here, Bob.
We do. There's a lot going on today.
We do.
Football.
Two Brandons are in today.
We got double Brandon on the show.
Two Bs.
Brandon and Brandon.
Other Brandon. Do people call you B once in a while, or is it just always a Brandon? Yeah, you get the B?
Yeah, you get the B, too.
I get the B once in a while.
What's up, B?
It's mostly Sprague, but I get B.
I'm worried this is your long con. You're going to get rid of me off the show so the show can be Brandon and Brandon. You've recruited another Brandon to join, a younger, better-looking person than me, and it might be Brandon and Brandon. Brought to you by Brandon.
I think we just call the show Brandon.
Brandon squared.
No plural, no two, not the's.
B2s, the B2s.
Just Brandon.
There's a lot of good name theories here. I'm worried. I'm on shaky ground over here now.
Yeah, well, you didn't have a good track record last person you brought in the building. We don't need to get into
that. Hey.
We don't need to get into that.
Water under the bridge.
Some people don't forget.
What are you talking about?
A lot to get to, but it is a Wednesday. We will talk about your Portland Trail Blazers. We'll talk some college football. We got NFL on the docket.
We do.
Maybe you'll get into Cam Boozer scoring 33 against UCF last night in college basketball.
What?
Oh, yeah.
College basketball is not happening, so you can go ahead and take that and shove it where the sun doesn't shine.
It's back.
It is not college basketball season yet.
All right, you're right.
If cameras aren't allowed in and nobody can watch, it's not back yet. I'm already having a hard time with the NBA. Give me some time to grieve here before you start shoving college basketball down my throat.
Lucy Burge at 9 and Statter Story Wednesday. But let's kick off the second hour of the program here on a hump day edition with a dirty poll.
Yeah, buddy.
The top 12 in college football, according to one and only Andy, the Dirt Man.
I feel like Johnson. I've reached Josh Pate status here, where I need to explain what it is, the JP poll every week of like these are not this or that. If I was an AP voter, this would be how my top 12 look today. This isn't playoff predictions. This isn't how I think it's going to end. If I was an AP voter and I turned in my poll on Sunday night or Saturday night, whenever it's due, this is how my top 12 would look. Number 12 in the dirty poll. They made it. They finally did it. I don't know how good they are. I don't know what their ceiling is. It might be identical to last year where you're like, you know what, that's a really good year. Are you a contender? No, but that's a really good season. But when you reach the over halfway point in a Power 4 conference and you are undefeated and now you have added a nice win against Utah to your resume, the 7-0 BYU Cougars come in at number 12. Kicking off the dirty poll.
Okay.
Number 11.
Welcome in the Mormons.
Hello, BYU. We had people tweeting me this weekend. Hey, Dirt, where's BYU going to be at the Dirty Poll?
I mean, it's a valid point. They were 6-0.
I was waiting. I was hesitant. And to be honest with you, I thought they were going to lose on the road or at home against Utah this weekend, and that did not happen. So BYU might be heading to the Big 12 title game. We'll see. A couple of teams in contention there. Number 11 is another team that I thought was going to lose this weekend. I didn't have a lot of faith in them. 2 weeks ago, they looked terrible. Mm. Quarterback came back from an injury too quickly. He threw 3 interceptions, dominated defensively, gave up a punt return for a touchdown. They had to go on the road, and all of a sudden it's like, man, is their coach going to get fired? This doesn't look very good. Now, I don't know how long they're going to hang around because their next 3 games are against Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama. Actually, God, the end of their schedule is brutal. Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, and LSU.
That's a tough one.
But for now, they are there. They are 6-1, and they went on the road and beat South Carolina, who is a whole different conversation. Oklahoma looked better this weekend. Bounced back nicely from their Texas loss. They come in at number 11.
Okay.
Number 10 in the Dirty Poll. Now a team with one loss, knocked from the ranks of the unbeatens this past weekend. Ole Miss, they went on the road. They showed me a lot. This isn't necessarily a knock on them, bumping them down to 10. 2 weeks ago, they did struggle at Washington State, and I dinged them a little bit for that. But they were in that Georgia game the entire time. Their offense was outstanding. They scored, I want to say, on their first 5, 6, 7 possessions, something crazy. Georgia couldn't get a stop. Lane was in his bag. And then all of a sudden, Georgia tightens the screws. It gets to winning time in the fourth quarter, and their offense just kind of disappeared. Not sure how I feel about their defense. Their schedule also challenging. Speaking of which, they play the team we just talked about, Oklahoma, this weekend. I got Ole Miss at number 10. Number 9 in the Dirty Poll is a team that I've been high on, and I did not knock for losing a couple of weeks ago, and I feel good about it now because they picked up. You could argue, you know, last year's Alabama game will be used as maybe the biggest win in program history for them. This one I felt differently about because there are expectations on them now. They're a ranked team.
They're favored.
They're a favored. Yeah. They're in the running to go to the SEC title game. Yep. They're in the mix to go to the playoff, and you got a ranked team, a top 10 team coming to your building. They handle business. I got Vanderbilt at number 9.
Vandy is my daddy.
They are your daddy. Well, not really anymore, Alabama, because you beat them this year. But Vandy's somebody.
The rest of the SEC, they might be.
They're LSU's daddy. Vandy's schedule is really fun to look at the rest of the way as well. Another team that I thought was going to lose this weekend. We got a lot of chaos, and some of these I was wrong on. And they're still there, undefeated again, Power 4 team. Number 8 in the Dirty Poll. They went on the road and played Duke this weekend and handled business. They controlled the entire game. They jumped out to an early lead. Held the lead and then ran away from them in the fourth quarter. 17-8 was the score in the fourth. Georgia Tech got a nice win on the road. They remain undefeated. They are undefeated for the first time in a very long time.
66, I think, is
1966, dude. It's a great story in college football. Brent Key, another one of those guys that you look at and say, he's at his alma mater. Is that outweigh, one of these other big, because he's going to get calls. There's no doubt about it. But he's at similar to Clark Lee and Kenny Dillingham and some of these other guys. Number 7 in the Dirty Poll is a team who bounced back with an emphatic win this weekend after a tough emotional loss the week before. They went on the road and beat Rutgers. Rutgers is not good, so, you know, it was nice to see them do what they needed to do. Oregon got the win 56-10. I got Oregon at number 7 in the Dirty Poll.
I'm stunned there's a certain team you haven't named yet. We're in the top 6.
It's not. This is challenging. It's difficult.
I
Let's
understand.
Get to the top 6. Here we go. Top 6. Number 6. He did it again. We knew he was going to do it at some point.
His quarterback did
it. Some people thought,
sure.
Is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And then, he did it.
He did it.
Louisville went on the road and beat Miami on Friday night. We kind of poo-pooed that game on Friday. It's like, it's a college game. It'll be on in the background. And then you're like, oh, my God, they're down 14-0 in the first quarter. Here's the thing. That's not a good loss. We're now getting to the point where you're judging resumes on who has a better win, who has a better loss. I think there's 2 teams that now fall into this category. Louisville's not terrible. I'm not trying to sit here and act as
they're a one-loss ACC
team. They're a one-loss ranked team, so it's not a terrible, terrible loss. It's better than Alabama's loss to Florida State.
Or Penn State at this point.
Or Penn State, sure. The reason that I have Miami ranked where they're ranked.
Oregon didn't lose to
Penn
State.
They won the game, yes. The reason I have them there is twofold. One, I think just the overall strength of their resume is solid. And the win over Notre Dame continues to get better every single week.
Yeah, that's, Notre Dame played really well against
USC. The benefit that they're getting that an Oregon's not getting right now. Yeah. And it's not their fault that Penn State has crumbled, but Penn State is now... Penn State still hasn't beaten a Power 4 team this
year. Actually, I disagree with you. It is their fault. They broke that program by beating them.
They maybe did. But that's the... if people want to come at me, why is Miami still number 6? One, the team they lost to is currently ranked in the top 20, who I think is pretty solid. And I think Jeff Brohm is one of the most underrated coaches in the country. And their win over Notre Dame gets better every single week. Notre Dame continues to win, though maybe show them at the Dirty Poll at some point. No 2-loss teams for now. Georgia at number 6. Number 5, a team I don't really know how to feel about, but they're just tough. They're gritty. They keep finding ways to win. Mm-hmm. And they did it again this weekend. Defensively, they were horrible for 90% of the game. Offensively, they were outstanding. got the win and came up with stops when they needed to. Georgia with a big win over Ole Miss. They come in at number five.
Number five.
Number four in the dirty poll is another team who racked up another win. They continue to do it. Now, this game could have had a totally different feeling at halftime had Tennessee not thrown a 100-yard pick six as basically the half expired. This was a 13-7 game, I wanted somewhere in that range. Or, 16-7. I can't remember exactly what it was. They get the long pick six at the end of the half. They go up 23-7. Essentially, the game is over at that point. But Alabama has now beaten, I want to say, four or five consecutive ranked opponents. So,
do they have the best? They have a bad loss, certainly.
Yes. The loss for them is
wise, they have the best resume, don't
they? The last 4 weeks for them, on the road at Georgia, win. Home against Vanderbilt, win.
Yep.
At Missouri, win. Home against Tennessee, win. That's four consecutive teams. All of them, I believe, still ranked in the top 15, if I'm not wrong.
I'll go check that, but yeah,
in the AP poll, they're on a hell of a run right now. And so that's, again, the balance of loss versus quality wins. Alabama's my highest-ranked one-loss team. And your top three, officially, Texas A&M got another win this weekend. I don't know how closely people watch that game. A little shaky for them. Defensively, they've had moments where they haven't looked great. They've had times offensively where they haven't looked great, but that's kind of what college football is this year. There's not a perfect team out there. They gave up 42 points on the road to Arkansas, but they found a way to win. A lot of that was kind of late. Arkansas came back in the game in the fourth quarter. A&M is undefeated. Speaking of interesting games this weekend and a coach who might be on the hot seat, Texas A&M goes on the road to LSU to play a night game this weekend. Can they remain unbeaten? And if they do, what does it mean for Brian Kelly's future? A&M at number three, and then the top two, no shocker. Indiana at number two, although they did get some devastating news. One of their top defensive players is out.
I saw that.
Looks like for the rest of the year yesterday, so they're going to have to wear that one. They're going to kill UCLA, but that's kind of an interesting game for me of like UCLA's playing good football. That's the big new game, I believe, this weekend.
You can't overlook UCLA
anymore. Not anymore. No. They've won four in a row, and their offense is humming, and Nico's looking like the Nico we thought he was going to, and then Ohio State, number one team in the country. There is your week. What are we in? Week nine? Dirty poll? Week seven? Week eight?
I think it's week eight.
Whatever week we're in, that's your dirty poll.
I think it's week eight going into week nine.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah, it sounds right.
All right, so Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, Bama, Georgia, Miami, Oregon, Georgia Tech, Vandy, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and BYU.
All right, go ahead. Take your shots. What do you got? What do you got for me this week?
I don't know if it's shots. I have questions.
Okay.
I want to talk about this.
Critiques, concerns, comments.
Yeah, interesting things about some of this stuff. I want to get to that coming up next. This is the second hour during Sprague. We roll on with college football talk on 105.1 The Fan.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple little side notes here before we dive back into college football. Did you see Lakers fans reacting to having DeAndre Ayton on their team? Probably went well, right? Did he dominate last night? Was he dominating the paint?
No. He was dominating terrible.
Talk about reasons why I'm excited for this year to actually begin. He's no longer on the roster is a big part of it for me.
I still think it's fair to say nobody thought they would just outright buy him out. We would get something for him, but...
That's why nobody traded for him.
Thank you for getting rid of him.
That's
Joe
why.
Joe Cronin, Blazers, thank you very much. We appreciate it on this program.
Look, it was a part of getting the Dame deal done. You got to make salaries match and all that. They tried to spin it as a former number one pick. Like the era of having to pretend as if DeAndre Ayton was going to become something he's not was a very frustrating era for me as a fan. And I'm glad that we've just, he is what he is.
It was a
he
stepping was stone move.
Grossly overpaid. Yeah. And he's back to making what he deserves. He'll give you 15 points and 10 rebounds. And some nights look like he's the best center in the league. And some nights look like he doesn't belong on an NBA floor.
One listener says, in response to a Sukanic morning walk, I've done a morning walk to Starbucks listening to Dirt and Sprague every morning for the last three-ish years. Nothing beats the slight chill and sunrise.
Yeah, this time of year, it's great.
Sunrise, guys.
Sunrise, guys.
All right. Dirty poll is out.
We've
tweeted it.
The tweet is out. The graphic
tweet
is
out there.
Our homie Jake was back, and he made the graphic. We're good to go this week.
I don't really have actually a lot of problems. I wouldn't even classify them as problems. I just, from time to time, you give rankings.
Did I cook this week? Are you telling me I cooked this week?
I think
Chef
you could.
Chef Boyardee.
Now, here's my only confusion. I know you've addressed this many a time.
Yes.
This did kind of start with you trying to pick the college playoff teams, and it's kind of morphed
that
now
became
into...
Dumb. I didn't like doing that. That was dumb.
Okay.
Because then teams would lose games, and it was like I wouldn't move them in the rankings because I still thought they were going to win their conference, and everybody would be like, well, why are they still number three? So and we always critique AP top 25 voters.
We do.
Love doing that whenever somebody has a dumb ranking.
Yeah, we do.
And so I want to put my money where my mouth is and say if I'm going to critique people, if I had a vote, this is what my top 12 would look like right now.
I obviously misspoke when we were talking about quality losses. I then said Penn State. I meant quality wins is what I was thinking in my head. So I apologize on that. I understand why Miami would be above Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think it's fine to now wonder aloud. We did Miami segment a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, yeah, I think he could be past the mistakes. And I actually don't even think Friday was necessarily his fault. His quarterback was...
Yeah.
I mean, you watched that game. I watched that game. I didn't... Where was Beck throwing half the time?
He was not good. That's the fear
of him. They put him in a body bag in that game.
And that's what Jeff Brohm does. You look at his resume the last 10 years and how many top 10, 15 upset. He is the most underrated coach in college football.
Is Louisville his alma mater?
It's his alma mater. That's why he left. But when he was at Purdue, this was what Purdue did. They beat Ohio State when they were top 5. Like, he had knockoff wins. That was a place you didn't want to go play. He took the Louisville job. It's because of where he played in college.
This is the whole weighing of where you're at in your career versus your alma mater. And those are tough things, I think, for most people.
Yes.
Florida throwing him a bag and I wouldn't question that.
He's not sexy. He's not a headline grabber.
No.
He's not a media darling. He's just a guy who knows how to win football
games. He loves ball.
And builds teams the right way. I don't know if he would listen to any of those, but if I were one of the programs looking for an upgrade in coach, he would be one of the top three names on my list.
I think the difficult thing here for me is, I don't even so much know if it's Oregon-based. Mm-hmm.
You're upset that Oregon's number 7? You want Oregon to
higher?
Is that
no,
the
no.
issue?
I'm not upset where Oregon is. Oregon is totally fine with where they're at. I'm more just like, that Miami performance was just so alarmingly bad by Beck.
Yeah.
And they've had a couple games that they've won. The Florida game comes to mind, right?
They were not good offensively
in
that game.
When you have a okay to really good defense, I just worry, like, I don't know if that cat can beat you. They've got skill guys. Malachi Toney is
one of the best players in the country
we've ever seen as a true freshman. He should be. I kept thinking about this watching him because he had some big plays in that game. You know how unfair it would be to watch him actually have to play in high school this year the way he should?
He should only be a senior
in high
school.
But he reclassified, and now he's in college, and he's one of the best playmakers in college as a kid who should be a senior.
Imagine me and you out there trying to tackle that kid in high school football.
No.
That's not going to end well.
He'd truck me and run past me. I think that loss, it's not an anti-Louisville Brohm stuff. It's more they just look so alarmingly terrifying. From a bad terrifying.
It's a couple weeks in a row now where their offense has been
clunky at best.
Yes, I think that's a good way to put it. Because you go back and look, the Florida game, the final was 26-7. That's a misleading final. That was a one possession game for 85% of it. Low scoring, ugly.
They dominated that
game. They piled up late, right?
But Florida State just lost to Stanford, so I don't care about that win
anymore.
Well,
sure, and that's totally fair. But even the Florida State game, they scored 28. A lot of that was like chunk trick plays in the first. It wasn't like they were putting drives together throughout the course of the night. And Florida State put lipstick sick on a pig with a late comeback to make it 28-22. So I'm not saying the game was ever in doubt, but it wasn't like their offense went in there and it was just seamless and they're executing at a high level. And so you're now on a stretch here where it just hasn't looked right. They get Stanford at home this weekend. That should be a bloodbath. Stanford, despite beating Florida State, is one of the worst teams in the country. And then they go on the road to SMU, who don't look now, still alive in the ACC playoff picture. I don't know how many people followed it this weekend.
That Lashley.
They beat Clemson this past weekend. SMU is now 3-0 in conference play.
Clemson, by the way.
Dude.
I don't think they have Klubnik, but
they're below 500 now. They're 3-4 at this point in the season. They might not go to a bowl game.
Dude, there's real buzz. That might be a sneaky, he walks away, or they actually shock the world and say,
yeah,
this isn't trending well. And what's funny about that is, he won the conference last year.
He was in the college football playoff and won the ACC last year.
He should be allotted. You know me. I'm not a Dabo guy.
I would not fire him right now. To me, would be ridiculous.
He gets another year at a minimum.
Yeah, there's a benefit of the doubt.
He's built up that cachet.
When you win two national championships, you get as long of runway, essentially, as you want.
Especially if you just won the conference last year.
If they miss a bowl game again or they go 2-10 next year, like there will at some point come the time. They won the ACC last year. It wasn't perfect, but they won the conference. So that's the one that I would circle for Miami. If in 2 weeks they play on the road at SMU, and maybe it's not in 2 weeks. I don't know if they have a bye before them, but I know they got Stanford this week. But after Stanford, that's their next game, and that's one that I'm very curious to see how it looks, because Miami early in the season appeared to be the best team in the country. And from a physical standpoint, you can still argue they're the most impressive. Like, I know Pate has talked about this, where he's seen a lot of these teams up close and personal, and Miami looks different than everybody else. But the concern of them has always been one side of the ball or the other. Last year, it was their offense is maybe the best in the country, but their defense can't stop a nosebleed. And this year, their defense has vastly improved and been one of the most talked about and discussed units in the country. And then their offense at times just disappears, and Carson Beck does Carson Beck things, and so they got to figure that out the next couple of weeks. But that Notre Dame win is going to continue to age like a vintage wine if Notre Dame continues to win. They needed Notre Dame to go on to have a good year because the rest of their schedule has not been great. Florida not ranked, Florida State not ranked. Neither of them will be ranked. Both of them may be firing their coach. They do have the win over South Florida, but that's a group of six teams, so I don't know if they get the credit for it. The Notre Dame win is the one that they're hanging their hat on right now.
If you were to look, because I have one more SEC thing I want to ask you before we get into some Blazer stuff, we'll pause college football conversation. If I was to ask you, would you bet on them losing one more?
So I would bet on it, yeah.
You do?
I would. Just because it's Mario's MO.
Is it that SMU game, or is it Syracuse, or is it
any
at
of them.
Tech or Pitt?
Like, any of them.
Think they lose one more game then?
That's who he's always been, and I know that it's not fair to always say that's who you were last year, so that's who you'll be this year, and I think 10-2 with the win over Notre Dame would probably be good enough to get them into the playoff this year.
I think this year they've gotten enough from the writers to say they're going to get in, but they'll be like an 11 seed.
Well, not to mention how many 3-loss SEC teams do we get? How many Big Ten teams are going to make it? Is it three? Is there a fourth in the Big Ten that can push for it? Is it just Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon? Is anybody else a threat to make it out of that conference?
I don't tend to think there is a fourth team in the Big Ten. I mean,
because last year there were four Big Ten teams, so that opens up a spot if you only have three, right?
They would need USC or Michigan to run the table, I think, to get a fourth team into that playoff.
To have a shot at it.
And that, other than that, like I don't see that. Now, this is where I want to ask you on the SEC.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. You think Miami is going to lose another game. Your highest-ranked SEC team, I think, is the fourth-best team in the conference.
You think Alabama's the fourth-best team in the conference?
Your highest-ranked team is Texas A&M.
Oh, touche, number three. Yeah.
So I know they're undefeated, and they've escaped a couple games, and they've handled some business and others. Yeah. I think Bama, Georgia, and Ole Miss, I think they're better than A&M. A&M's going to be a playoff team.
It's a fair take.
But I think those three are better than A&M.
The other thing about A&M is, I don't disagree
with you.
They're
undefeated, though.
This is the funny part
it.
About when you're judging teams, because how much of it is the eyeball test and how much of it is what you've actually done?
Oh, right now it's the eyeball test for me because they're undefeated.
Yes.
So I can't argue that.
Well, and not to mention they have a massive win in non-conference. They, too, went on the road and beat that Notre Dame team, and it was close. It was uncomfortable, but wins are wins, and there's no pictures on the scorecard.
You're right.
And they now have also racked up some quality wins in conference play that haven't been quite as impressive. Their run is going to come in the next 2 weeks. They go on the road to LSU this weekend.
See, I think they're good. If we were spreading line in college, I would contemplate taking LSU this weekend.
I don't blame you at all. What the line in that game is, a night game in Baton Rouge.
Desperation, dude.
Play guess that line.
LSU minus 5.5.
Texas A&M minus 2.5.
I would take home dog there.
You would get home. They're plus 125. LSU is on the money line.
They win that game, and it's not that they don't have an impressive win, but I think building more confidence with people who watched games is a thing. You win at Baton Rouge where it's literally backs against the wall. LSU season is kind of over for expectation.
Mm-hmm.
You win that game and I'll go, okay, I need to recalibrate A&M here.
They get LSU, Missouri on the road the next 2 weeks. They close on the road at Texas, so they got three massive road games to come. Their SEC resume isn't what Alabama's is. Alabama, as we just talked about in the last segment, has racked
it's
up some
one, yeah.
quality win after quality win after quality win.
Yep.
The difference is they have that non-conference win over Notre Dame. And if Alabama had beaten Florida State in week one like they should have, well, and if they play yeah, today, no they win the game by 80.
They might be number one in the country.
They're the number one team in the country right now, and there's not a debate about it at all.
Well done by you.
Thank you.
I think this is a good 12.
Thank you. I feel good about my 12 this week.
Gave you some Vandy grief a couple weeks ago when they lost. They have responded.
Vandy's your daddy
well.
Now. I think well, Vandy's your daddy. How dare you question Vandy?
If Vandy was really my daddy, it'd make me take a DNA test to prove that.
They get Missouri this weekend at home. Please do it to Eli Drinkwitz what somebody needs to do to Eli Drinkwitz. Don't let me down, Diego Pavia.
I love that that's the coach you hate the most is Eli Drinkwitz.
Dude, his ass in overtime in the Auburn game, for those who were watching, he pre-celebrated a field goal that was wide left. He thought his team won the game, and they got bailed out because Hugh Freeze is an idiot.
We'll get back into maybe some college at some point again. We'll get to some NFL. We've gotten any NFL. There's a lot of NFL notes I think we should talk about today. We have an old quarterback coach combo that hate each other and it's gone public. An owner outright calling out his starting his former starting quarterback.
Yeah, and his current starting quarterback too, kind of.
No, it's his, now it's the backup.
Oh, well, touche.
Yeah.
Now it is the backup.
Finally, it's worth talking about that. So we got some NFL notes we'll get to as well. Back with it's the opening night. And we got some news yesterday out of Chauncey Billups. Blazer talk next.
With you on a mountain.
God, I miss this.
With you in the sea.
Will we be singing that a lot this year?
I hope so, man. That'd be fun if we could.
That's our Kevin Due special. Anytime the Blazers win, diehard Blazer fan Kevin Due will tweet that video out, and it gets massive retweets, and it's just perfect. It really is.
Yeah, I think we need to bring that back this year on the show. I think that needs to be a staple again.
Got to carry it over from the social media to the radio itself, and so we will be doing that again this year. The Trailblazers tip off their season tonight.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
And Edwards in town, going to be at the Moda Center tonight.
Yes, he is.
Looking to shut and silence a lot of people.
Bring gas!
He was caught on a burner social media account on Instagram.
Who was he arguing about? Was he defending Ann Edwards?
Well, it's weird, because like I think he's secretly acknowledged this is his burner. It's a picture of a fat white kid on it, and it was basically, it's like pro-Anthony Edwards content.
Defending his career.
And he has a list of things he wants to do, and a lot of them are like dunk on, and then he scratches out names because he doesn't want you to know who it is, but he's got goals.
He's trying to dunk on people. Is Donovan Klingon on that list tonight?
Well, I bet it is. I bet he is. I'm excited. Yesterday at practice, as we get ready for the tip-off of your Portland Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups, asked by our great friend Casey Holdall, who will be on in the 8 a.m. hour today. Hey, man, who's your starting lineup? He listed it, and to the shock of some, Shaedon Sharpe is in that starting lineup. And when asked, you know, what led to this, this was Chauncey Billups' answer.
I feel like we have seven starters on this team. I really do. Those five, Jeremy and Scoop. I feel like we got seven starters. For the first year, I had some really, really tough decisions to make, you know, and I like that. They came in and did great. Jeremy was incredible in camp, along with the other guys. You know, I just feel like right now, this is kind of how we need to go, how we need to start. And who ends the game, I'm not sure, you know. This is just how it is. I mean, this is just how it is. The NBA is tough. It's a very competitive situation, but this is where we at.
So he did the thing most people were hoping for. He announced that it will be Drew Holiday, Shaedon Sharpe.
We did it!
Denny, Tumani, and the Klinger in the starting lineup tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Look, every time I think I'm going to, you know, are they going to give me something to boohoo about? Are they going to give me something to be negative about? What do you got for me? What's around the next corner, Blazers? How is negative dirt going to come out? And then yesterday I'm at home and I didn't know there was a press conference. I probably should have known that.
Yeah.
And I'm scrolling social media. What's going on? Little guy's down for a nap. It's the first thing I saw. And I burst out into a smile. I could not even begin to tell you how happy I am. This is the right call. Who closes the game could be a night-by-night basis. Who's playing better? Are you up? Are you trailing? There's determining factors that can change that. That's a different conversation. Who should be in the starting lineup? You just signed your young guard, who was a top 10 pick, to a $90 million contract extension. He is a part of your long-term future.
Yep.
Jeremy Grant's days in Portland are numbered, whether it's this deadline or next offseason. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
That's fine. I don't know if anybody will eventually trade for him or want that deal.
Right.
But would they get to the point where they got to buy him out like they did DeAndre Ayton? He's not going to be here 5 years from now. Shaedon Sharpe will likely be here 5 years from now. He's a part of your core and what you're building, and he's ready for this moment. And the idea of continuing to make him come off the bench when there's somebody in the starting lineup who has not shown anything in preseason, hardly, and regressed incredibly as a player last year, to me would have been really hard to stomach. And so one for one out of the gate, Chauncey Billups, you made the right call. Shaedon Sharpe deserves to be in the starting lineup.
I tend to agree with you. It's hard to really publicly talk about deserving and who's earned it and then, like, watch what Jeremy Grant was last year.
That's the whole point. If Jeremy Grant was playing at a level that he was 4 years ago,
sure,
I would have no issue with him still being in the starting lineup. He was dreadful last year.
And I think the best part about this, to me, isn't so much, like, it's great to see Shaedon in the starting lineup. It's something we've wanted. To me, it's more about, I think a big part of this is the attitude as well. And I'm not saying this about Jeremy. Shaedon was asked at Media Day about coming off the bench or starting. He basically was like, I'll do whatever it takes, man. I don't care. I'll do what they need me to do. And, you know, it was like a 10-second answer, but it was like exactly what you would want to hear from a professional athlete, right? There wasn't, well, you know, I hope I'm in the starting line. I've earned it. Like, he just was like, I'll roll with whatever.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a laid-back nature that way. And then he came out, and I didn't necessarily light it up per se, but I thought he had a really good preseason, enough to say he can start. And Chauncey's right. They do have essentially seven starters. Now, how the Scoot stuff gets figured out once he really ramps back up in his back.
Somebody will be the odd man out there.
Well, we'll see. And it might end up being Scoot. And say, be our sixth guy with Jeremy off the bench, two, and then Young's. But I liked this. It makes me more excited. I already was excited.
Yes.
And it's going to be an interesting year. And I was thinking about numbers yesterday. And looking at a lot of different things with the Blazers, and I'm more wondering this year, is it going to be 3.5 or 41? And it's a stat or story Wednesday, which we'll get to at 9:15-ish, but is it 3.5 or 41? And the two numbers I'm giving you there are, is this going to be a continuation of the 3.5 years of not consistent, not beating good teams, no play in? Or is this going to be piggybacked off the 41-game sample size? They internally have convinced themselves they took the right steps. They were 23-18 in their final 41.
Gave everybody an extension.
They've given extensions. They were top five defensive team in the league. They've leaned into the identity of the defense. And, you know, it is a win off the court that you give Chauncey. But I'm fascinated to see if they take that step. Is this going to be the continuation of those 41, or is this going to end up being what the
another
other three
year.
And a half years? Yeah. And it's varying, obviously, but
sure,
no play in. And you know me, my expectation for this team, play in.
That's a totally fair expectation on the year.
There's nothing wrong with saying there's an expectation. It doesn't have to be more than the play in. You don't have to say playoff wins or a win. Like, just be in the play in.
Take the next step.
Because the metric we have from the homie is that 44 of the last 50 teams to be top 10 defensively make the playoff, let alone be in the play-in.
Yep.
And so if you have that kind of defense, which we all kind of think they do or they're capable of, you pair that with Shaedon, that's my expectation as the season starts off tonight.
Yeah, I will say this, and I don't know, you know, maybe I'm on an island on this one, because I know there's diehards out there that feel this way probably every year, that live and breathe it, and every second of their life is consumed with Blazer thoughts. This is the most excited for a year that I've probably been since the year after the conference final run. Like, this is the most up I've been, not in terms of, like, what my expectations are or where I think the team's going to go, but just holistically. Like, I've been somebody who I think has been very consistent on the thought of, I'm going to have a hard time emotionally investing myself into an organization that is owned by Jody Allen, because I just don't trust her. I don't think she's a good owner. I don't think she cares. I've never heard her talk once outside of a Shaedon Sharpe draft video, and I don't know what the plans, the goals, the expectations are. And so that now changing on the horizon, coupled with the moves of Anfernee Simons should have been traded a couple of years ago, and they finally made that move. We can debate the return, but I'm glad he's not on the roster anymore. And DeAndre Ayton not being your starting center and having to yell about does he care or does he not care.
He's a Laker problem.
Dominating. He's their problem now. Go deal with it. And again, I don't know what it means in terms of wins and losses this year, but a change in leadership, a change structurally in the way the roster is built, now coupled with the idea of your top 10 pick starting at shooting guard, your top 10 pick from a year ago at center is now the starting center of this team, and we'll see how many minutes he's able to play. I'm excited to see Scoot eventually when he comes back in a pivotal kind of contract year for him. And then Jan Johnson's going to get back up 5 minutes, probably early in the season. We'll see how his role looks like and what the rotation's going to appear to be. But all of those things put together has me the most excited I've been for a season in a long time. They've had good years. They've had great players. They've had good moments since then. But in terms of just the overall enthusiasm that I have about the state of the organization, this is as excited as I've been in probably 5 years.
Ooh.
Because you had the conference finals run. The next year, we were all jacked coming into that year, and the year went terribly until COVID shut it down. And then they made the bubble, and you had that bubble run with Dame. The next year,
all-time
we're like,
elite basketball there.
All-time elite basketball,
but not
no
a
doubt.
Great result. Yeah.
The next year, it's like, what were they? They were this, right. And then they were that, and then Neil's still here, and we're not trading CJ, and then Neil gets fired, and then
we're right.
Strung the Dame thing out, and I'm like, okay, he's still here.
Very
and,
fair.
And then it's an overall restart, and Jody's owning the team, and it just, I have felt like I'm lost wandering through the wilderness at times as a fan the last couple of years. And now I feel like I don't know what it means in terms of Tom Dundon taking them to the top of the mountain. It's very difficult to do in the NBA. But just in terms of having a semblance of hope as a fan, it feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel for me.
Well, let's carry this over. What are your expectations out there for the Trailblazers as they tip off their season? We'll get the local scribes' predictions with records and where they think they're all going to finish. We'll do that in the 8 a.m. hour. We'll get back into some football stuff as well. But what are your thoughts on the Trailblazers and your expectations? 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. Carry this over. I have another number I want to throw at you. 90. The number 90. And carry over something we brought up here next. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we asked the question, what are the expectations? I'm just not one. I think you can see growth and development, and that's great, and those are separate conversations. I do think in a year five, there should be some level of expectation here.
Yeah, you can't just keep kicking the can down the road year after year after year after year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not a 10 seed in the West, and I understand the West is, it's tough, man, but injuries might break your way, and I don't certainly can go against you, but
could be a year or two where you win 42 games, and that's good for the 11 seed in the West, and I'm not going to kill you for that. You improved, you took a step. Like,
I mean, there's a context,
there's nuance,
I guess,
to
there.
That, right? It's not just make or break, and it's a failure if if you don't do it. But if it's like a 34-win season.
If you hit the under of your win total at 33.5.
It's a massive disappointment.
That's a disappointing season. And I still think you can also take away and say, well, so-and-so played really well. And I'll say, yes, you're right. It still is a team. Cal Raleigh, I thought, had a really good quote the other day. We didn't play it for the Mariner loss. But he was like, I love these guys. It was great. It was fun. This was a failure. Our goal was to win a World Series.
Yeah.
And you can say that's kind of extreme. Like, you got the furthest the team's ever been. But I love when athletes hold that kind of level. And, you know, they said it's winning time. So I have questions about their offense, and I think they're fair questions, but my expectation is the play-in. Make the play-in. Whatever happens in the play-in, so be it. If you lose in your first game and you're a 10 seed, okay, at least you took that step.
Yes.
Of not being one of the bottom, what would that be? Five teams in the league, six teams, whatever it is.
In the conference, yeah.
So I would like to see that for them. My number is 90 that I teased you. That's how much Shaden got paid.
$90 million.
And I think Shaden sometimes for people can be, you can wonder, like, is he motivated by getting money, or is he one of those guys that gets the money and becomes not as motivated? I tend to think he's pretty measured and he'll play well, and mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the growth. But there is always kind of that fear for some. I don't think people have it with Tamani, and I think some would admittedly tell you they got it a little bit with Shane. He got the bag at the start of the season, and now I'm excited to see what he's going to be with the money.
It's a catch-22, because if you string it out and you make him play and wait for the contract at the end of the year, what if he goes on to average 25 points per game? How much money did you cost yourself in a year in which you could have locked him up for $90 million? How much is he going to command next offseason? And I know there's not a lot of cap space out there, and there's maybe not a lot of offer sheets that would get thrown at him. I understand it's a nuanced conversation. But to me, I'd rather just lock. If you have faith internally in what he can become and what he is as a player, I still go back to having Denny Avdia, Tumani Kamara, and Shaden Sharpe under contract. When you combine their salaries for the next however many years they're under contract, it's ridiculous how little those three guys make combined. You know, Denny Avdia's got a good contract.
I think Casey said with Klingon involved, it's 37% of their cap.
For those four guys. Four players. And those are guys that you view as key, like not just bench, but those are key figures and parts of your team that you think are going to be around for a long time. The Kamara stuff, I think, is a fair analogy because he's a second round pick. He's a guy that's had to kind of prove himself in the NBA. And so there's that thought of he's got that dog in him and he's not going to lose that because he's had to play his way into this. Whereas Shaden was basically able to go to college, not play a second of basketball there, and then get drafted in the top 10 still just because of overall raw talent. But that also gets back to coaching and motivating factors and pressing the right buttons and making sure that you're getting the best out of him. I think that Shaden Sharpe this year is going to turn into an all-star? No, I also don't think that's what Portland needs him to turn into. You just want to see continued growth. And there's been areas of that in his career. Stay durable, which he was able to accomplish last year. Mm-hmm. The points per game went up, even though the minutes per game went down. And now there's stuff like, are you going to care more often than not on defense? Are you going to bring it more often than not night in and night out? Every player in the NBA is going to have bad nights. Every player in the NBA is going to have moments in their life where things are going awry, and they're just going to not give their biggest level of effort. That's going to happen from time to time. Mm-hmm. Throughout an 82-game season. Can you improve the three-point shooting? Can you go from 31% or whatever it was last year?
I think it was 31%.
31%. Yeah. Can you get 35? Can you give me 35 this year? If you could do that, that's still not elite. You don't look at him as one of the best shooters, but he's got so many other aspects of his game that if you can just be serviceable in that area, I think it's a huge step in the right direction. Does your points per game go from 18.5 up to 21.7, right? And then you would have averaged more points than anybody on the team last year. Anthony Simons is your leading scorer at 19.3. So there's little things you can look at along the way. I don't have this fear that all of a sudden he got $90 million and he's not going to care anymore. If anything, that was the knock on him even before he got the contract, that he doesn't bring it every night. So that's not a new fear that I have.
I'm fascinated to see the offense tonight. And I know it's a one game, but you know, it happens. We see this. They could lose three straight and it's all over. They're not good. They win four straight. They're going to go to the West Finals. Like, we ebb and flow with the season every year, yes. Despite telling ourselves,
don't do it, don't do it, don't do
how
it.
How many games there are. Last year, just as an example, via cleaning the glass, points per 100 possession, they were 23rd, and effective field goal percentage, they were 25th.
Yeah.
Their biggest questions going in are offense. And I would say that's been their questions the last two previous seasons, because 2 years ago, 29th in those same metric and 30th in the same metric, and now 23rd, 25th. So slightly better last year than they were the year prior. But like, what are those steps necessary to get to an expectation, if your expectation out there is the play-in. I don't know if it is for everybody. I've heard differing opinion from fans in my life and online and on different platforms where it's like, yeah, they don't need to. And I'm like, I fundamentally disagree with it. I think we can enjoy. I think we can be critical. And I think we can observe different elements of the season. But I will just for the whole year be holding expectation is play-in. And I'm stoked to see what this is going to be and how they're going to play and how they're going to figure this out, including Chauncey Billups, who might be one of those guys that, as he has progressed as a coach, and he's admitted this, he's learning on the job. We get to see starting tonight what he has learned and how these guys are going to operate.
I'm excited, man. Should be a great environment. The new revamped Moda Center with all the new video boards that fans get to see for the first time and the new Jumbotron and all that. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's fun to have the Blazers back.
Tip off with the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. Don't forget, in the 8 a.m. hour, we will have the local scribes on to give their record predictions and how far they're going to go this year.
We got to give our record predictions, too, before the show's out.
We will.
And then we'll flip it or stick it sometime in February.
The midway point of the season. We will do that. All right, let's pivot back. We'll get into some football stuff to kick off the third hour. Dirt and Sprague, hour number three on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.